Thank you, brother. I'm sorry I've unmuted and didn't think to remute. So anyhow, I do appreciate very much the opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you, Brother James, and all for the invitation to speak. We enjoy so much the Wednesday night meeting, and usually get to catch the latter portion of yours. Sometimes ours runs a little after 8 our time, 7 your time, but we are thankful for the opportunity. We appreciate the singing, appreciate the prayer by Brother Ricky. Brother Ricky preached our meeting and preached on a subject that stirred our hearts on the love of God, His great, unfathomable, boundless love. And we're thankful tonight for the assurance of that. Have a different subject on my heart, though, that seems to have been with me most of today and seems to reside now. So you pray with us and pray for us. A text that maybe we don't use that often, but we have studied some on this subject, and it's thrilled our minds and intrigued our minds to some degree. But the wise man Solomon, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, says in the 24th chapter of the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 24, and we just want to read one verse. As you know, Proverbs, in many places, there's a theme through several verses, but many times it's just a collection of verses with the wisdom of Solomon that God had given him, recorded for us. And in this 24th chapter of the book of Proverbs, I'd just like to read the 10th verse to introduce subject upon our hearts. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10. Under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, Solomon pens these words: "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. That word faint is used, at best I can tell, about 60 something times, over 60 times. Either the word faint, fainted, faint-hearted, anything to do with that word faint. Over 60 times in God's word, we find that word used. Now, that doesn't make it throughout the scriptures, but there's a general theme throughout the scripture that speaks of man's weakness and our lack of ability to remain strong, and the strength power of God that gives strength. The Apostle Paul, I think, gave us some of the best admonition in this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that chapter where he catalogs his life, some of the events, his suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ, how many times he had been beaten, how many times he had been shipwrecked, all of these things. And then he says to us in the 9th verse, after he had experienced that beautiful vision of being caught up into the third heavens, he says these words to us in verse 8 of the 12th chapter. He says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me." He's speaking about the thorn in his flesh that was given to him, lest he should be exalted above measure. And he says, "This thing I besought the Lord three times or thrice that it might depart from me." Paul went to the Lord, he says, on three different occasions, and asked the Lord to remove this thorn in his flesh, this messenger of Satan that had tormented him. But he says in verse 9, "And he said unto me," speaking of the Lord, he says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now, the text that we've read tonight says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is weak." It sounds like a very difficult verse. It sounds like a verse, almost a condemning verse unto us. But the text that we've just read said that we acknowledge our weakness, that we are weak. The Apostle Paul said in his weakness, he besought the Lord that he might remove this thorn in the flesh. And he said that the answer that came back was not that the thorn would be removed, or if you pray a little harder, or if you do a little more work, or whatever the world may say happens because we have adversity in life. He says, "But my grace is sufficient for thee, for in thy weakness my strength is made perfect." We understand, as Brother Ricky talked about the inexhaustible supply of the love of God, we understand tonight that the strength of God is also inexhaustible. And this word faint, it comes from a word that literally means to vanish. It means to just wither away. When I was a little boy, I had a hard time remembering if it was a waxing moon or a waning moon. A waxing moon meant that it had been a new moon and was growing. A waning moon meant that it had been full moon and was now decreasing. Well, that word that we find there in the word faint, it literally means to wane, as the moon, as it goes through the cycle of being full and then begins to wane and becomes smaller and smaller. And finally, we'll see that there's no moon left almost on the night of the new moon. But we know that he says here, he says that it literally means, that word means to wane. It also means that to become weak, languid, to incline to swoon. These are all words that maybe we don't use every day, but I'm just trying to get our minds focused, if we will. It means weak, feeble. It can mean also weak as a color. It can mean weak as a sound, a faint color, a faint sound. But it generally has to do with something less than strength, somewhere that we have perhaps been but have fallen back to. Brother Ricky so ably talked to us about God's eternal love being our security, and that we're secure in Christ Jesus, and that he's loved us from before the foundation of the world with an everlasting love, a love that will not let us go, as the hymn writer says, and a love that will finally bless us to be one day conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know that it has much to do here in this world. And he goes on and he tells us that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. It can also mean feeble. I'm not quite old enough to be feeble, but there are some days I'm bumping up against the peg, as the old saying goes. I'm not far from it. And I know some of God's people that I've seen them work hard. They've accomplished a lot. They've farmed, they've done, but they've become feeble in their steps, and they're beginning to faint away and beginning to fade away. Also, it can mean someone that is cowardly would be someone that is feeble. We could go on about this. It can mean dejected. Lamentations chapter 1, where that great weeping prophet Jeremiah is speaking about the spiritual condition of Israel. He said that his heart was faint when he considered Israel. You know, one of the things that I've always enjoyed studying in God's word when I look at a subject is to go to find the first place that it's mentioned. The rule of first mention in God's word is a good place to always start if you're starting a word study. And he says in the 25th chapter of the book of Genesis, we find the first place that this is used, and it's used in a sense of being a faint that comes about by a man that is very hungry. Of course, we know we're speaking about the story there that is given to us in God's word of the event in the life of Jacob and Esau, where Jacob secures the birthright from Esau. Notice what he says in the 29th verse of the 25th chapter. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. I was a boy growing up. I never had any problem with my appetite. We'd eat breakfast, and I'd ask Mama what's for dinner. And I'd eat dinner, and I'd say, Mama, what's for supper? And I'd say, after supper, I'd say, Mom, have you got anything that I can snack on? Now, I've got a grandson that'll be 15 in October, and he's experiencing that. But I don't have that kind of appetite anymore. But old brother Esau, it seems that as he came in from the field, he had been out to secure meat for his father and to secure that which his father had requested. And when he came back in, the scripture says that he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, and that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom, or red. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Well, Esau says, well, I'm going to starve to death. I'm fainting. I'm getting so weak, I'm not going to live to enjoy it anyway. And so, and if I understand what pottage was, it was basically a pot of beans. And he cooked for Esau, and Esau readily agreed to give away his birthright, because he understood that if he didn't get sustenance, that indeed his physical strength was fainting away from him. Now, there's other ways that faint is used in Scripture. We can't cover them all. Don't want to try tonight. But in the 45th chapter of the book of Genesis, we find a very familiar event again that happens. And that is when Joseph has been discovered of his brethren down in Egypt, or he reveals himself to his brethren, and they send back the wagons to bring Jacob down into, or bring Jacob down into Egypt, where Joseph, of course, is made second in charge, or second in command only to Pharaoh. But notice what he says in verse 25 of the 45th chapter of Genesis. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land. This is his brethren coming back with the explicit command that they must bring Benjamin and they must bring their father. And there was food in Egypt. There was food in there for them to be fed. And he says, when he comes back into the land of Canaan, to Jacob, and he told him, saying, and they told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and is governor all the land of Egypt. And he says here, you remember, Jacob had already been through the grieving process. He had already wept and grieved over his son. the son that he loved and made a coat of many colors. And he says here, he says, after he gets the word of this is so great to him and so heavy, shall we say, that the scripture tells us then that as they come back into the land of Egypt, it says, and Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. So Jacob fainted, if you will, at the news, the excitement, the extraordinary word that Joseph, in fact, was alive, that he was in Egypt, there was corn in Egypt, and they had been sent back. And the thing that encouraged Jacob at this time the most was the evidence that he saw, the proof that he saw of the provisions that were made for them should they go to Egypt and should they come into the camp there of Egypt. Now, in the 47th verse chapter of this same book, he says, and there was no bread in all the land, again, speaking about Egypt, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all of the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. Now, here's a land that is fainting because of the whole nation of Israel. There's no food to be had. There's a famine. There's been a drought. There's been prophecies that have been fulfilled that were revealed to Joseph. And of course, there's corn in Egypt. But we also know that in the land of Canaan, in the land of Israel, there was no corn. And it says that the land fainted as a result of that. Also, one other place very quickly we'd like to go is the Deuteronomy chapter 20. Where the Lord is speaking to his children there about their going into the city and going into the cities of the land that God had promised them when they came into the promised land, that their fight was to be one that they had to realize and did understand that they would be greatly outnumbered. The cities would be greater. The walls would be higher. Trained men of battle, perhaps the Israelites had been in Egyptian captivity for 400 years. They weren't organized as a military force. They didn't have chariots. They didn't have a lot of the equipment that some of the empires, if you would, that would have in the Bible. These were people that came out with the bread bowls upon their back and the things that they had borrowed, but they were not mighty in prowess. But God tells them there, he says in verse number 3 of the 20th chapter of Deuteronomy, and shall say unto them, O Israel, ye approach this day into battle against your enemy. Let not your hearts faint. Notice that word. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you, to save you against your enemies, to fight for you against your enemies, and to save you. And verse 8 says, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return into his house, and lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. I want to mention two things about this. First of all, the land of Israel. Their hearts would faint then if their only strength that they had and the only ability that they had was in themselves, that their hearts would faint them in the times when the cities were greater, the numbers were greater, the enemies were larger, all of these things that they would come into contact with. You see, they were entering a land that God had given them, but they were to possess it. They were to walk forward in it. And when they came to a place and to a battle and to an adversity, if you will, they were not to approach it with faint heart, but they were to approach it to realize that God would fight for them and God would be their salvation in that situation. And then he also tells us in the verse that we read in verse 8 that this thing of fainting and this thing of discouragement many times is contagious. And that's what he says in verse 8. He says, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? If you find someone like that, he said, let him go and return into his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. It's not only contagious, but also, my friends, in the heat of the battle and in the adversity, there would be soldiers that would stand and not soldiers that would act in a cowardly manner. Now, having said all that, we want to move on because the text that we've read tonight tells us, he says, if thy faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. We always spend our time, it seems many times, trying to be delivered or escape adversity, trials, and tribulations. Jesus tells us in this world, you shall have tribulations. Now, that goes against the prosperity gospel that's being preached from many of the pulpits in our country and around the world today. The prosperity gospel says if you'll just give enough, do enough, be enough, whatever their case or the situation may be, you won't have any problems. And if you're having problems and troubles and trials, you must have sinned or had some great moral bankruptcy or moral failure that has caused this. You know, the miserable comforters who went to Job, that was basically the essence of what they said. You evidently have offended God. You've made God mad. You need to search yourself and see what this is about. The young man that was born blind in the Gospel of John, the scripture says the first thing that is asked of him when he's presented to the Lord, it says, who did sin? This man or this child or his parents? And so they figured his blindness was because of that. But you remember in that case, the Lord says that this blindness was that the glory of God might be revealed. You see, many times Peter tells us this, that trying of our faith is more precious than gold. There's got to be some adversity. There's got to be some trials, and there's got to be some tribulations. And as Brother Tommy Roundtree in our area says, brethren, if you haven't had trials and tribulations and adversity, just wait. It's coming. And I wish I had a better story for you than that, but that's the truth. And according to God's word, in this world you shall have tribulation. Now, the question becomes, what happens when that adversity, those trials, those tribulations come to our door? When they're in somebody else's house and somebody else's camp, it's easy. You might sit back and say, well, I hope he gets better. Or you might be like some of that are unkind, like the man in John 9. Well, surely he's committed some sin. He's done something. I've been through some very serious health adversities. Brother Ricky has, and I look out, and some of you I know, some of you I don't, but most of us have been through some type of physical adversity. And if we haven't, thank the Lord for it. And I wish I could tell you, but as my grandmother Scott used to say, not many of us are going to get out of this world alive. Well, as we live and as we sojourn, my friends, we're going to face adversity. We're going to have face trials. We've seen where physical affliction, in the sense of hunger, in the sense of the sense that he said there of Esau, that his heart fainted because of his physical suffering or his physical what he perceived as a life ending, if you will, or life terminating hunger. Probably the truth of the matter, he would not have died, but he felt like he was going to. And then, of course, as we said, sometimes the excitement is just too great. Sometimes good news, and this news that Jacob received of Joseph being alive, that was good news, and yet he still fainted at that. Israel was told not to faint when they came into the company of greater cities and greater numbers of those that were around them. The book of Lamentations, as I said, their heart fainted. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, the scripture says that the nation of Israel, that their heart is faint because of the sinfulness. The Lord had raised up children, but they had rebelled against him, and the cattle knoweth its owner, and the crib or the fatling its stall, but Israel doth not know, and Israel doth not consider. That was a national situation that came about. As we think about this tonight, though, we consider what the psalmist says in Psalms chapter 27. Notice these words, if the Lord would bless for just a few moments. Notice as he says here in this 27th chapter, he says, in verse 13, he says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Somebody says recently, and I guess what's got my mind stirred on this subject matter is, I think when they look back and you say, well, everything's perfectly fine in our area. But I'm afraid to say that we've still got some folks in our area that I'm afraid haven't completely come back to life, if you will, after the COVID scare. I think there's some folks that maybe, I'm not saying necessarily it's true everywhere, but there may be some folks that say, well, I found out, and listen, I love Zoom services. I'm thankful for them. They say, well, I can get everything I need at church from the Zoom service. I can get everything I need from here or from there. But I found out one of the things that God has given to us as his people is there's a place where we can go and hear the good news of the gospel. We can hear of what great things God has done for us. We can hear of his strength that is made perfect in our weakness. We can hear that weak, poor, weak, and worthless though I am, I have a rich, almighty friend. Jesus, the Savior, is his name, and he freely loves without end. I need to hear that. I need the reassurance. Somebody may say, well, you seem a little clingy. You ever heard that term? Somebody seems a little clingy. I want to be clingy when it comes to the things of God. I want to be clingy when it comes to the house of God. I want to be clingy when it comes to the Word of God, because I tell you, I've faced enemies larger than I have. This world around me, my friends, is bigger than I am. Some people think that the world is spinning round and round and they're in the center of it. I can tell you where that's not the case. That is not the case at all. This world goes on. And so the situation comes to our mind. Well, how are we going to react to the adversity that we have? Is it going to be our own posturing, our own strength, our own recollection, how we think things ought to go, how it ought to be? Oh, my friends, I want to tell you something. If we've got a God tonight, as dear brother Ricky preached last hour, if we've got a God that has loved us with an everlasting love and purposed before the foundation of the world that we would be predestinated to the Son, to the image of His Son, and is predestinated that we'd be adopted to the children of Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of His will, if He's done that for us, and if He loved us enough, knowing that He created us upright in His image to give Him glory, and yet Adam, that first man, sin came by him, and by sin came death. My friends, if we look at that and we consider God has given us in this world, my friends, a place where we can go and be encouraged and strengthened, because He tells us here in the text that we've read, that we might read, He tells us over in the 7th or the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. He gives us a very pointed, if you will, parable that has to do with this very thing, and that's beseeching the Lord and seeking the Lord for our strength and our guidance. And he says in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and he said, and he's speaking of Jesus Christ, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We ought to always pray and not to faint. And then he gives us a parable that gives us that illustration. My friends, we've got access to the very throne room of God through our Lord and our Savior and our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. What weapon that is formed against us can prosper? What enemy that is formed against us? If God be for us, my friends, who can be against us? But he says that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. The scripture also tells us this, to watch and pray. And again, quote my Granny Scott, she said, if you watch very much, you will pray. Well, you know, sometimes we pray or we watch, and instead of praying, we faint back or we fall back or we become weak in our way. But notice what he says here about this particular text where he says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, notice this parable. There was in a city a judge which feared not God nor regarded man. Now that sounds like a pretty tough judge, doesn't it? That's Judge Roy Moore, if you will. That's a hanging judge. That's one that doesn't sound like he's tempered by much mercy, tempered by much grace. It certainly doesn't sound like he's a man that's in church on Sundays. It doesn't or in the synagogue. This was a man that feared not God nor regarded man. Now notice. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine enemy. He said, avenge me of my adversary. She comes to him. I believe this is a widow that comes to him, and I don't know. The scripture doesn't tell us. Christ doesn't go into what the offense is, but there is someone in that city that has wronged this widow woman, that has turned, she's either had loss of money, loss of health, loss of home, loss of something, and the only thing she can do is go to this unjust judge who does not regard men nor fear God. And she says, a simple request, avenge me of my adversary. Now, if she just went one time, that judge had it within his ability to make the decision, but he did not, because she's dealing with somebody that regarded not man nor feared God. Well, listen, this judge that we're talking about today, the God of this universe, and Abraham calls him that when he's speaking about the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he gets down to 10, he says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now, certainly we know that God will do right. His judgment is a righteous judgment. He and his Father are one. And my friends, his love is set upon us in an eternal covenant relationship. But this man, that this woman had to go to, this poor widow woman, he was an unjust judge. He was a man that did not fear God. He did not regard man. And she comes with a simple plea, avenge me of my adversary. And notice, and he would not for a while. Now he said this, she comes to me, he said, I'm not going to do anything about this. I don't know if he thought it was beneath him. I didn't know if the guy that had avenged her was a friend of his or a campaign contributor. I'm not making any assumptions here. I'm just saying that she didn't just stop that one time. Notice what it says. He says, because this widow troubles me, she says, and she says, avenge me of my enemy. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man. He must have been real proud of that fact. Notice what it says. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. In other words, this is an unjust judge that does not regard men nor fear God. And he says, I'm just, this woman has come to me and she's wearying me with this. And he says, she's changed. She won't go away. She's insistent and persistent prayer or persistent pleading, persistent case before him. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. He said, and shall not God, notice this question, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Think about that. Shall not God, who is rich in love and mercy, Brother Ricky, who is the tender mercies, loving kindnesses, his compassions that fail not, his faithfulness is great, his mercies are new every morning, his grace is sufficient for that day. Notice what he says. He says, I'll tell you, shall not God avenge his own elect, those that he loved, those that were given to him? He says, who which cry day and night, though he bear long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? He says, yes, he'll avenge their coming. Yes, he will avenge it. And yes, he will, as the unjust judge was motivated by the continual coming of this woman unto him. We know that the unjust judge eventually relents and says, I will grant what she asked. But we know that our God in heaven is a much different. He's a loving God. He's a compassionate God. He's a God that does righteousness and good deeds. And this judge, although he regarded not man nor feared God, this woman by her persistent prayer and coming to the Lord. I wonder how much, and I say this, I'll say this about me. I wonder how many of God's blessings that I have either been neglectful in thanking him for, or how many blessings that I've missed because I didn't think that that the Lord would be interested in that. I didn't think that he would hear my prayer. I didn't think that perhaps I was too concerned, and perhaps even maybe I had fainted to the point that my prayer wasn't as what. Have you ever prayed and just felt like it just didn't get out of the room hardly? Just didn't hardly go above? But my friends, that's the time we need to double down on our praying. We need to double down on beseeching the Lord. This was an unjust judge, and yet he granted because he was just weary of him. God doesn't grow weary with us. He's not weary at all, and he's not waxed weak in his deportment or his ability to supply our needs. But he says here, he says, yes, God shall avenge his own elect. So we know that we have an avenue, if you will, a blessingness in being able to go to the Lord in our time, because he says, if we fail, if we faint in the day of adversity, then our faith is weak. Well, once we acknowledge that, and the disciples, they also said, Lord, increase our faith and add to our faith. And all of these scriptural terms, my friends, faith in action is prayer. I really believe that. One of the greatest ways that we put our faith into action is by praying and asking for God's blessings in our situation. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. So what could we have that would be too hard for him? There's nothing too difficult for him. I mean, if he calls the stars to come into their orbit and calls the light to commanded the light to shine out of darkness, isn't it reasonable to think that God, of his own elect people, will hear our cry? But he'll understand. And sometimes, my friends, it's not that we're not going to be granted. Sometimes we ask amiss. Sometimes we ask in a wrong way. But my friends, it's a constant abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ and constantly abiding before his throne of grace in our prayers and asking him for these things. One other thing I want to mention, and we'll bring our remarks to a close, in Galatians chapter 6, where he's speaking about, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And then he goes off and says, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Notice this. Is prayer well-doing? Is going to church well-doing? Is praising the Lord and thanking him for what we're doing? Bringing our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Husbands loving our wives? Wives submitting ourselves to our husbands? Working out our own salvation with fear and trembling? There's much to be done in God's kingdom. And he says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Notice this. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. It's time to plant a garden here in Georgia. I've got a little bit planted, and the frost has come, the dry weather's come. It's getting off to a rough start, But every time that I plant those seeds, I'm in hope. And that's an act of faith, really, to plant a seed, to take what you've got, whether you go and buy it at the seed store or you saved it from the previous year, to take what is already safe and secure and buried in the ground. But he says, be not weary in well-doing, or we shall faint, or we shall reap if we faint not. My friends, I pray that God will bless us to sow good seed, as ministers of the gospel, to sow the gospel seed among God's people. As people of God come into the house of God, that we prepare our ground so that when the gospel comes forth, that it'll come into our hearts and to lodge and bring forth 30 or 50 or 100-fold. But my friends, I'm afraid I'm very much oftentimes sow to the wind, and we shall of the wind will reap nothing. But my friends, if we sow towards the things of God and towards the kingdom of God, he says, don't be weary in that, for we shall reap if we faint not. I hope the Lord will bless us. Sometimes as we get older, it's easy to faint. I think about in Luke chapter 2, where you've got two old saints of God, one by the name of Anna the prophetess, and one by the name of Simeon. Simeon had been told that he would not see death until he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And Anna the prophetess had also received word. She had been a widow for 84 years, had lived 7 years with her husband, been a widow for 84 years. And she too longed to see the Lord. Just think if they had fainted on that day that Mary and Joseph brought that babe into the temple to be done after the manner of circumcision after 8 days, to be circumcised after the manner of the law was. And if they had said, well, you know, today I think I'm just going to stay home. Now, I understand sickness is real, and I understand that we all, there's days that we just can't go, and I understand that. But just think about those two, if they had stayed home that day, if they had fainted that day and said, you know, it's just a little bit too cold, it's just a little bit too hot, it's a little bit too far, I'm a little tired, I worked hard yesterday, all the, you know, but they were there that day and they received the blessing of God. You know, I enjoy the church services and I want others to enjoy it, but to be there, but to enjoy it, you need to be there. And we need to be in his house and in his word and before his throne of grace. My friends, I don't believe that we will persevere in good works, but I pray that God will bless us that we might persevere in serving him in strength and vigor. He says, and I close with this, in Isaiah chapter 40, you know the text as well as I do, or better probably, but I want to just turn over there very quickly, and we'll bring our remarks to a close. Isaiah chapter 40, he tells us this, beginning in about verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Here's somebody that doesn't faint. Here's somebody that doesn't wane. Here's somebody that doesn't wax away. What's his name? He's the creator of the ends of the earth. There is no, he fainteth not, neither is he weary. There's no searching of his understanding. And this word is used four times in each of these four verses. Verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. What a great promise. God gives power to the faint. His strength is made perfect in us. And he says, and to them that have no might, he increaseth their strength. That's good news to me. I want to be strong. I want to be lively in the church of God. As long as he allows me to be, I want to preach his word as long as he gives me liberty and opportunity to do so. I want to enjoy, as I get older, to enjoy the kingdom of God more and more as the things of this world become less critical, less important, less appetizing to us. Don't the things of God mean more to us than they ever have? He said, even the youth shall faint. Even the young people, he said, will faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and what? Not faint. Those that wait upon the Lord, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You know, one time he told Israel, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Not to advance, not to fight in their might, not to go forward. What did Israel do to Pharaoh and his armies to conquer them? Not one thing. That which was a salvation to Israel was the death of Egypt. And many times, my friends, what we interpret in this life as being those things we don't understand, God, my friends, is able to bless and to touch in our lives and bring to our remembrance. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. My friends, tonight, thank you for the opportunity to be with you. There's much that could be said along this line, along the lines of this subject. I don't want to be a fainting Up in North Georgia, they have a place that's called Goats on the Roof. I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but it's up in Raven County, up in the northeast corner of the state. And they've got runs for the goats all over the rooftops and everywhere else you go. And they've got some of those goats that'll faint. Anything, the least little noise, least little thing, they'll just fall down and drop out. That's it. I mean, they'll lay there a little while, the rest they'll get up. I don't want to be a fainting goat. I want to be a sheep that's led by the shepherd and strength of God that can come to us and does come to us in our times of adversity. He says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy faith is weak. Thy strength is small. May God bless us to be endure good soldiers of the cross, to endure hardness as a good soldier. And my friends, to inspire others to tell them what good things and great things God has done for us. May the Lord bless you and thank you for your kind attention. If you're in Georgia, come see us. And if you're not in Georgia, still come and see us. And Brother James, thank you for the invitation to be here tonight.